heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, or that is Jews, contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, Gentile, didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter, excuse me, from the beginning. Peter went over, told them what happened in chapter 10, that story of Cornelius and his house. He expounded an order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners. And it came even to me. Upon the which, that is the vision, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord. Nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, call not thou common. This was done three times, and they all were drawn up again into heaven. Behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. The Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren, he pointed at, there were six men there in his company that went with him. They accompanied me. We entered into the man's house, Cornelius. And he showed us how he'd seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? So when they, the Jews, heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then God hath also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And you and I should be very, very thankful for that, because we're Gentiles. We're not Jews. Simon Peter is recounting the story that is recorded in chapter 10. And the same thing that we heard last week, and he's telling it again. What did you think about when you heard it again? Paul the Apostle one time said, To write the same things to you, to me, is not grievous. Not grievous. Paul went all over, went before various kings and rulers, telling the same story, telling how the Lord revealed himself to him. And he told it again and again and again. And one time in the end, after he'd already told it many times, I think it was Agrippa or Festus, I forget who, but they said, All right, Paul, tell me again what happened. And he said, Well, I just am happy to do that. It just makes me happy. You know, those who have not heard and believed and received this gospel of God's sovereign electing grace quickly tire of hearing it. They want other things. Now, that's not so for those who have really heard, those who believe with the heart. One way you know that the gospel is gospel, that means good news, good news is that it's always new and it's always good. That's one way you know that the Lord truly has revealed to you the gospel, revealed it in you. Revealed the love, have a love for the truth where you never tire of hearing it. The gospel. A man on death row, if he heard that he's going to receive a full free pardon, he'd just have to wait on it. How often do you think he would like to hear that story? To be reminded. You think he would ever tire of hearing that, huh? The Israelites of old, the Lord grew tired of them, didn't he? Because they said, we've had enough of this light bread. Talking about that manna, didn't it? That's the gospel, that manna. Angels' food, Christ, gospel of Christ. And they'd had enough of Moses, too. They said, he's just a man, and this is light bread, and we're tired of it, and him. Simon Peter was just a man, too, wasn't he? Just a man. Sinful man. But Cornelius was instructed to go to great lengths. Remember? Go to great lengths and great expense to send for that one man, because there was one man, there was not another within miles around who was preaching the truth. And he said, you, Cornelius, and your house must hear this man. He has the gospel. Do whatever it takes to go there. Spare no expense. Send for him to come here. And he will tell you words whereby thou and thy house shalt be saved. Now, what could be more important than that? What could be more important than that? And bless God, he did save Cornelius and his whole house. And we, Mac, I'm going to bring you up again. We rejoiced to think last week about what it would be like if the Lord had, right there's your family all sitting with you in that row right there. What if you're sitting in glory someday? All four of you, beholding the Lord Jesus Christ. What could be better than that? What's that worth? Everything. Anything. Well, so Simon tells this story. Simon retells this story to the Jewish brethren. You read the bulletin. You see the title. I had it there for last week, but it didn't really go in that direction. Equality of race and grace. Racial equality. And grace, quality of grace. That's the subject that we're dealing with this morning. And we're going to look at that. Young people are up here today. I asked Gabe if he'd like to have a break this morning. I had something that I think they could profit from. And he said, be fine. We're going to talk about racial equality. Okay? Racial equality. Now, the apostles, Look at verse chapter 11, verse 1. The apostles and brethren that were in Judea. Apparently, some of the apostles were there when Simon Peter came back. And even they were upset because Simon Peter went down and preached to these uncircumcised, or that is, these Gentile dogs. Racial prejudice or bias or hatred of one race by another. One race thinking they are superior to another. That didn't begin with whites against blacks. No, no. It pretty much began with the Jews hating Gentile. That means whatever other race there is. we don't blame it on the Lord, but the Lord did tell them, I chose you out of all people. Not so they'd be proud of their race, but thankful for His grace. Not so they would think they're better than everyone else, but thank God who made them to differ. And this racial prejudice, as I said, didn't begin with whites and blacks, but Jews against Gentiles, and later the Gentiles, that is the Egyptians, once they had the Jews as their slaves, they hated them. Despised them, and on it went, whites, blacks, reds, yellows, browns, greens, blues. If you're just a different color, I hate you. You're less than me. I'm better than you are. And one of the first things we learn when we hear the gospel, hear the truth, is that all men are equal in God's sight. All men are absolutely equal. Is that our constitution? Boy, I need to know this. Young people, that's in our constitution. All men are created equal. Equal. Scripture says there is no respecter of persons. That's what chapter 10, verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, here's what he concluded. Of a truth, verse 34. You looking at it? Chapter 10. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Nor should we be. Certainly not ourselves. God is no respect. You say, where are you going with this? Exactly what I'm saying here. All right? Stay with me. This is what the Lord teaches us. There is no respecter of person. There should be no respect when you look at this person. James wrote about this, didn't he? He said, if you see a person come in with fine clothing and fine upbringing and all that, and you have respect, don't do that. Don't esteem him more highly than this poor man down here. Didn't he say that? And don't hate or have prejudice against this fellow and prefer this fellow. Don't do that. God does not look at one race as being superior to another. God doesn't even look on the outward countenance, does he? Nor should we. They all look the same to God. Now here's racial equality. Okay? All look the same to God. All races of men are equally bad. Wicked. Now, let's talk about racial equality. None are worth saving. This is the fundamental of the gospel. This is why the gospel becomes gospel. The gospel of sovereign mercy is to those who don't deserve it. Those who know they're nothing. Those who know they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. This gospel is for worthless people. All who know themselves to be unworthy, God Almighty sends this gospel of one who is worthy. Racial equality is this. All are equally bad. In God's eye. No, God has no respect of persons because there's not one person He respects except Christ. The Lord looked down from heaven, Psalm 14, to see if there were any that did understand on the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand, any that sought after God. And He said, they're all together. Put them all together. They're unprofitable, filthy, stinking. That's what this book said. That's what God said. Look at verses 11 through 14. Peter, this vision he saw, he says a great sheet let down. They were all in it together. Verse 12, all manner of four-footed beasts crawling on all fours. Man believes in evolution. Man thinks he started on all fours and eventually ended up on 2 feet. No, it's the other way around. Young people, it's the other way around. Man started upright. God created man in His own image, upright. Male and female created him, upright. He fell, and he became worse than a beast. John Calvin once said, with an apology to the beast, because the ox knows his owner and the ass knows his master's crib. The beast of the field. Wild beast. See that? Verse 14, 12. Wild beast. Creeping things. Fowls of the air. I bet those were mostly turkey buzzards. And Peter, when he saw this, what did Peter say about all of them? Unclean, didn't it? That's what these are, unclean animals. All of them, didn't it? You go, two scriptures will suffice. Genesis chapter 6. Go back to Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 6. And I already quoted Psalm 14 to you. People, this is the fundamental truth of the gospel. This is where the gospel begins. It begins, it starts with a T. Total depravity. Total depravity. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Genesis 6, 5 through 8. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every, that is, the whole imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. Continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And verse 7 says, I'll destroy him whom I've created from the face of the earth, man and beast, creeping things, and fowls of the air. It repented me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord said, I'm not going to destroy them all. Look, that's before the flood. You say Noah was a fine man. Well, he was. Why? He found grace. Why was he righteous? The Lord made him to differ. The Lord revealed himself to him. The Lord restrained him. The Lord constrained him. The Lord saved him. The Lord regenerated him. The Lord did that. Salvation's of the Lord. By grace. Through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Look at after the flood. Genesis 8. Look at Genesis chapter 8. This is after the flood. And oh, this is that gospel savor. Verse 21. The Lord smelled a sweet savor. When Noah got off the ark, he sacrificed one of every clean beast and fowl and offered them. And the Lord says it was a sweet smelling savor. Noah hadn't had any for 40 days and for a year. He was on that ship a year. He hadn't had any of this savory meat either. And it's sweet to God and it's sweet to him. If you go without hearing the gospel very long, oh my. Hope, if indeed you have tasted, the Lord is gracious. But the Lord said in verse 21, I will not curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. You mean was, don't you, Lord? No. Is. Who are you talking about? Noah and his family. Those are the only ones left. Only ones left. So, want to talk about racial equality? They're all bad. And the Lord said the same thing is going to happen, not water, but fire. Didn't it? The Lord looks down on this planet
and
sees that the thoughts, the imagination of man's heart is only evil continually. And he said, I will destroy man. The same heavens are kept in store, reserved unto fire, Peter said in 2 Peter 3, for the day of judgment against all ungodly. But God. You, hopefully, are in the ark. You, like Noah, have found grace. Let's talk about equality of grace. Okay? There's racial equality. The quality of grace. Okay? God chose and elected some of these vile sinners before the world began, before it had done any good or evil, Romans 9 said, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of Him that calleth. And He chose some of these, knowing they would be ungodly, just like the rest, knowing they would sin again, knowing, but foreknowing them, and predestinating them to be conformed to His Son's image, and sending His Son down here to be made sin for them, and them be made the righteousness of God in Him. But God is rich in mercy. For the great love wherewith He loved us. Why would He love us? Why would He love Jacob over Esau? The answer is only found in Him. Because He said, that's what I'm going to do. Jacob's not lovely any more than Esau. But Jacob have I loved. Malachi 1, that's what the way it began. Wherein hast thou, God says, I have loved thee. And they said, wherein hast thou loved us? Well, was not Jacob Esau's brother? Was not Jacob just like him? Was not Jacob before an ungodly man like Esau? Would not Jacob have, did not Jacob sell his birthright in theory? But me, God, I wrestled with him. I came to Him. I chose Him. I saved Him. I revealed myself to Him. I kept Him. I blessed Him. I, the Lord, did all these things. Salvation's by grace. 100% by grace. That means unmerited favor. Blessing shown by God sovereignly upon those who don't deserve it. You ever get tired of hearing that? Not if we realize what we are. By grace are you saved. If you are saved, you have found grace like Noah. Look with me in closing. Acts 15. Acts chapter 15. Now as said, Peter and the apostles, I believe, were still caught up thinking we're better than the Gentiles. No, didn't they? Obviously. Sherry, one time later, Peter was sitting eating with the Gentiles. You remember? And James and some of them came in while Peter was sitting eating with these Gentiles, and a bunch of Jews came in. Peter jumped up and ran over there and sat with them. And Paul saw this. He said, Peter, you've forgotten grace. You've forgotten grace, and you're compromising the gospel of God's grace. Acts 15, look at this. All men are equally sinful, and if they're saved, it'll be by grace. One way, by grace. Acts 15, verse 5. There rose up certain sect of the Pharisees that believed, saying that it's needful to circumcise these Gentiles, commanding them to keep the law. Well, the apostles and the elders came together to consider this. And Peter rose up. This is later. Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, you know how good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentile, verse 7, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. God knows the heart. He bore them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, as he did us, put no difference between us and them. Purifying their hearts, how?
By faith.
By faith. Abraham, remember, he was a Gentile dog when the Lord came to him. An idolater, 75 years old. He's the father of the Jews. He wasn't a Jew to begin with. But God made him one. Read on. Don't tempt God, he said. Verse 10, put a yoke on their necks, which our fathers were not able to bear. That's the law. Verse 11, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. In other words, if we're saved, don't look at them like they're less than us. No, no, no. Hold on here. If by the grace of God we're saved, we'll be saved like them. Not they'll be saved like us. We'll be saved like them. If we're saved. And Paul wrote more perfectly over in the book of Romans. He said, what? Are we better than they? No. In no wise. God hath before proved that Jew and Gentile, they're all under sin. There is no difference. But he went on to say, we're all justified freely by His grace. Which is where? In Christ Jesus. A gift. So here's the equality of race. All bad. None worth saving. Oh, but here's grace. I've chosen something. And all equally in God's eyes now, all in Christ are equally accepted, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. Sons, they're all sons. No male or female in Christ. No male, female, no rich, no poor, no Jew or Gentile, no clergy, lowly, laity. No. In glory, after this is all over, there will be no relationships of any kind. It won't be, Mac, if all four of you are there, Davis won't be your son. He'd be your brother. Equal. Because one is your father. Margaret won't be your wife. You'll be the wife. Jesus Christ, your husband. All equal. All the same. Equality of race and grace. That's what this teaches. All right.